Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
There is no better group of plants for flower power than forms of the shrubby potentilla.
Hello and welcome to This Week in the Garden. I'm Peter Seabrook, here to help with some of your gardening quandaries. It's the show season, with Chelsea Flower Show giving me sleepless nights. And this week, I'm joined by a man who's a very recent addition to the show circuit. He's a specialist in hostas and hemerocallis, two flowers that I'm fascinated by. From Brookfield Plants, it's Paul Harris. My thanks to Sutton Seeds, sponsors of this podcast. This week we've had a busy few days. Last Friday, for example, I visited the new Ascot Spring Flower Show and then went on to the RHS Flower Show at Cardiff. Down in Cardiff, there was a fantastic exhibit of Narcissus by R&A Scamp from Cornwall. They were exceptional. Literally hundreds of different cultivars of daffodil and Narcissus. And also there were, I think, about 50 or 52 wheelbarrows planted up by schools. You know, the school children obviously had a whale of a time. And I'd like to see schools actually growing in wheelbarrows. You know, if you don't have any soil in the playground, wheelbarrows are a perfect moving container. Just need to make sure that there's some holes drilled in the bottom. And at Ascot, that stunning grandstand was a perfect backdrop, and I think some of the show gardens there were, well, above Chelsea standard. A really good show and very good logistics, getting in and out, you know, free car park, railway just by the front door. That was a great show. The Royal Horticultural Society is updating its list of deer-resistant plants. The list was first formed in 1980, and they're asking gardeners to log plants which have been left alone by deer. You need to go to the RHS website, and if you look at deer-resistant page and enter by the 1st of May plants that the deer haven't eaten in your garden, it would be most helpful. For those of you who do have a deer problem, and it's increasing, I regret to admit, then delphiniums, foxgloves and rhubarb are three of the standard plants that a deer don't seem to eat. Actually, at the RHS London show earlier this month, the Herbaceous Plant Committee awarded four RHS First Class certificates to double primroses in the Bellarina series. Primula Bellarina Buttercup, which is yellow, Nectarine, which is a sort of orangey yellow, Snow and Valentine, which is a very rich red, can all now carry FCC, a first class certificate, after their name. I should think the Curley family, who bred them in Cambridgeshire, must be delighted to have their work appreciated and honoured in this way. But back to the garden. Now's a good time to sow sweet corn, ideally in cell trays or pots, to germinate in the warm, ready to plant out in a few weeks' time. The alternative is to sow direct, either under cloches or ground-covering fleece. And remember, we sow them in blocks, in a square, rather than single rows, because they are air-pollinated. The pollen needs to blow from plant to plant to set the cobs. It's a time, too, to sow outdoor tomatoes and all of the cucurbits, things like maras, courgettes, squashes. If you sow those in the next week or two, they should be up and ready to go out in the garden at the end of May, early June, before the chance of frost. Oh, and you can also plant what we call dahlia pot tubers. They're the small tubers sold in pre-packs. And if you plant them over the next week or two, by the time they've made root and come through, chances of night frost should have gone. Or the other way is to pot them up, and when they start to produce some shoots, take a cutting from each one. You usually get two or three shoots from each tuber, and root that, and then you can grow that, the cutting, on in a pot and produce your own pot tuber for next year.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Now, back in the 1950s, early 60s, I worked on what we called the show circuit. We had an old 5-ton army lorry. We gathered together our produce, flowers mostly, and off we went. Staged exhibits at flower shows, more than 40 in a year, from Brighton to Newcastle, and slept overnight on the lorry for what time there was to sleep. Now, one of the more recent entrants to the show circuit is a very good friend of mine, Mr. Paul Harris, who operates Brookfield Plants from Ashford in Kent. Paul's on the line now. Paul, how did you get into this business?
Peter, I've always been interested in flower shows, and when I was at school I used to exhibit at the local flower show, and I was madly keen on croissants and dahlias and sweet peas at that time. I then had a career in horticulture related, and a family and mortgage commitments, and so I had a sort of day job. And then when I was approaching a certain age, I thought, well, no, this is not great fun, and I don't need to do this, and I'd be doing something more interesting. So I set up Brookfield Plants and went on the show circuit. Your story about a van is very familiar.
Why? Surely you don't sleep in a van in this day and age, do you?
Sometimes, yeah. Malvern is actually easier. The van is right on the site, and it's easier. There's not much accommodation about. It's convenient and cheap.
I mean, I remember, you know, the tailboard going down with a wallop at 6 o'clock in the morning and stepping out onto icy grass at the Cambridge show early in May. I mean, you need to be quite a tough soul to put up with it then. I hope you have slightly warmer and drier accommodation.
This week I have, but Malvern, yeah, will be on the showground. I think to Harrogate. I think I'm in accommodation there, but previously I stopped in the van, and it's been really quite interesting when you wake up and it's all sparkly frost.
It's a side of the showman's life that people just don't know about or hear about, isn't it?
No. Yeah.
Now, why did you choose hostas and daylilies, hemerocallis? I mean, you mentioned all those other lovely flowers, sweet peas, chrysanthemums, dahlias. So why hostas and daylilies?
I always like them. I've been a member of the society for quite a long time. They grew very, very well for me. There was a demand, more for hostas than for dahlias, but dahlias I really like.
At a recent show, was it 2 weeks ago, I mean, you had some really beautiful forced hostas.
Yeah.
So, I mean, have you got, you know, state-of-the-art greenhouses and lamps and heat and things?
Hardly. These were around the house. These were sort of in the hallway and around the dining room table, and all over the place, just to break the dormancy. It's been such a difficult season, such a late season, and so I've been get them to move, and as soon as the shoots are up, out into the polytunnel, and then every night covering them up with fleece and uncovering them, it's been difficult.
Well, I mean, it's a demanding job, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You've got to be keen.
How do your family cope, then, with plants up the stairs or whatever?
They're tolerant. They kind of put up with it. It provides an income, and so they're kind of aware of that. But, more than that, it's a passion, and, we're all involved in it.
Yeah, you know, even now, on our bedroom windowsill, I've got that new mulberry, Charlotte. The fruit's actually set, and with a bit of luck, I'll have some ripe fruit for Chelsea. We do these crazy things, don't we?
Yeah. You've got to. It's going the extra mile that makes the difference.
And after the London show, that was your first one, was it, early in April?
Yeah, London show, London Hall's difficult to get into, but it was an interesting show, and it gets me going for the season. And then this week it'll be Cardiff.
And you staged those really beautiful specimens, absolutely perfect hosta leaves, not a sign of a slug or anything, in old galvanised containers. Are you going to use those at other shows this year?
I'll use some. I think this week I'll do a mixture of galvanised and planted in with moss and leaves. The galvanised containers have been very popular. It puts an idea in people's minds, and they see that, and then they think, oh, well, I can do that at home and take a few plants.
And where did you find them? Because, I mean, you got a baby's bath, if I remember correctly. You had buckets.
All over. A lot came from different auctions. My brother's partner likes going to auctions, and these things turn up there. And some of the old sort of ones that got character, they're the best ones, and they turn up from time to time.
And do you actually grow in those containers, or grow in pots and then plant them in the container?
Yeah, no, I grow in pots. It's much better that way. The plant does much better if it's in a pot the right size.
And then you don't need to have to punch drainage holes in these rather nice galvanised containers.
You don't have to. Most of them have rusted through.
Oh, have they?
A lot of them. But it works much better if you fill the container up with broken bits of polystyrene, just as packing, and plunge the pot in there, and then cover it with some decorative bark or moss I used this week. That looks better, and it works much better. And it's flexible. Now, when the plant needs potting on, you can take it out, space it, give it more room, and some fresh compost, and off it goes again.
Now, in the case of hostas, the big problem for most of us as gardeners is slug damage. What do you do to keep your plants so perfect? I mean, I don't remember, over the last few years, seeing a notched leaf on any of your plants at any of your exhibits.
Yeah, slugs and snails are a constant battle. I do use a few slug pellets, but only a small amount, only in enclosed areas. I'm very keen on wildlife. I'm a volunteer for the Wildlife Trust throughout the winter. And so I do encourage wildlife, frogs, toads, slowworms. They're all living amongst these, and they're all taking the slugs and snails and vine weevils as well. Besides that, nematodes. I do that a couple of times a year.
Oh, do you?
It's not 100%. It doesn't get them all. It doesn't get the snails. But it's quite good at knocking down the population a bit.
And you need to do that when the compost temperatures are getting warm, don't you?
Yeah, it's a bit early yet, particularly this season. So maybe in May, and then again, sort of August, September a good time.
I mean, you're not like the Prince of Wales gardeners going out with the torch at night, are you?
I am, yeah. I do recommend that, because just occasionally you'll get a great big snail that's coming from somewhere, or a slug that's there, and you'll see some damage. If you go out the next night, you often catch it. It'll come back to the same place, and it's quite satisfying when you get the guilty party.
Well, I have to admit that I do the same.
Yeah.
I find it's a fairly effective way to find them and pick them off. Now, let's deal with hostas first of all. What are the most popular today? You know, at the shows that you go to, London, Cardiff and Malvern, what do you expect to be in demand?
Miniature hostas have become very popular in recent years. There's a lot of varieties that have come out, and they're great for containers. People that only have a window box, even, just a collection of miniature hostas on the shady side of the house, not somewhere too hot and sunny, They've become very popular. The other ones that are popular are the Tardiana group, which have the thick leaves, which do resist slugs. They're not slug-proof, but they're more resistant. And they do really well with me because I've got quite a shady area, and they develop a blue colour. Many of these varieties are derived from Halcyon, which is a famous blue hosta, and they have this beautiful blue background colour. And you normally have those on my display, and they prove very popular.
I mean, is there one called Big Daddy that has very strong leaves?
Big Daddy, yeah, that's been around quite a long time. Any of the giants, once they get mature plants with tough leaves and leaves that are held way up above the ground, yeah, they get more resistant.
And then if we switch on to daylilies,
yep.
I mean, do you tend to do hostas earlier in the season, and then when the daylilies come into flower, concentrate on them? Or do you do mixed stands?
Hampton Court is the time for daylilies, June, July. And previous years I've put on a display of daylilies there. And so they have their moment. Hostas is the backbone, and I still do hostas at Hampton Court. But I've been trying for years with daylilies at Hampton Court. It's difficult. They're not plants that are easy to show. They look lovely at home, great big pots covered with flowers. But you move them and you put them in a marquee and they sulk. The flowers don't open anymore.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the buds are all there, ready to pop. And you think, oh, tomorrow it's going to come open. And it doesn't. Maybe it's the next day. And you get to the end of the show and the stigma has come out the end of the bud. And on the last day, it falls off, which is really frustrating.
And is that just strength of light, then?
It's light, yeah. They've got to have the right light conditions.
So should you be outside with them, really?
Yes, they do better outside. Although I've tried holding all the plants outside on the bank at Hampton Court in the sun and then running in with them at the last minute just before the judges. And that wasn't entirely satisfactory. And I have done them in the outside plots. But there's just something about daylilies. They just don't like moving. Some varieties are better than others, but they are a little bit temperamental. At a flower show, at home, they're the easiest thing to grow possible. You put them in, they make a big clump. They're pretty much free from pest and disease, apart from the gall midge, which has recently occurred. But generally, they're pest and disease resistant, and they grow very easily.
And when do you sort of divide them? If I was to buy some from you, for example, at Hampton Court, plant them in my garden, they'd be fine for 2 or 3 years, wouldn't they? Form a really big clump. Do I need to divide them?
They can go for quite a lot of years before they need dividing, but eventually you get a clump that's congested. Alternatively, you just want to make more. Just lift it. If you can separate the shoots, cut between the shoots, or worst case, put a spade between the shoots, and then just plant out the pieces. It's very easy. You can do it any time. Perhaps the best time would be just after flowering, maybe August, September time.
Oh, really?
If you do it then and plant them back in the garden, they make new roots before the winter, and so you'll have a nice established clump the following year.
Yeah, then they'd flower and wouldn't look as if they'd been moved, wouldn't they?
Yeah, quite.
Well, can you give us a few good varieties for the average home gardener? And what about size? I mean, are there big and small ones of Hemericallis, the same as hostas?
Yeah, there's a huge range. There are miniature varieties which only grow sort of about a foot tall, which have flowers 2-3 inches across. And some of those are repeat flowering. Some of the big ones are repeat flowering as well. And then you go through to the great big ones, which might be 10 inches across. Spectacular flowers. Those are the ones that I like.
Well, give us 2 or 3 that would make a good clump in the average small garden.
Ruby spider is one of my favourites, very reliable. Big flowers, sort of burgundy red. All American chief, that stands out. That's bright red. Maybe I've got a thing for red. Chicago sunrise has been around a long time. Very reliable variety. Bulk up quite quickly. Does really well. There's a whole range of colours. There's some pink ones, pinky purple, all sorts of colours.
And if people listening now want to see some of these, do you have pictures of them on a website?
Yeah, I've got my website. It's brookfieldplants.co.uk, and there's pictures there.
And so we could go through and find Ruby Spider or American Chief or whatever.
Yeah, certainly they're on the web.
And so can you give us some idea of your show season? You know, you started in early April. Where are you going and how long are you going? Will you be at Harrogate Spring Show?
Yes, Harrogate's a really good show. I think they're catching up a little bit. We've got a bit of sun at the moment. So Harrogate, there'll be some more plants which are coming up. But yeah, I really enjoy Harrogate. And then after that it's Malvern, one of the biggest shows of the year. And then Chelsea, which is very prestigious, and always try to do a good display there.
And will you be actually selling some plants at Chelsea? Because some exhibitors do start to sell plants now, don't they?
Yeah, the rules are changing. Previously we couldn't sell plants, and then recent years I could sell dormant roots. It was bulb tubers or corms, and I made the argument that a hosta was a rhizome. But now we can start to sell small plants. But the problem with Chelsea is that there's not a lot of space, and so it's difficult to store stock and also to display it and sell it. Yeah, I will have some plants for sale at Chelsea.
And the access to Chelsea this year is going to be even more difficult, they tell me. Those of us who live to the east, we won't be able to turn right onto the showground. I can't imagine what's going to happen there in the build-up week.
I saw that when I was coming along on the bus, and I thought, oh, I hope they finish the roadworks before Chelsea. And then we just got the message to say that, no, you can only approach it from the west. So that will be interesting.
Now, Paul, you're very much a one-man band, and I remember seeing you at Hyde Hall where you had a problem with your back.
Yes.
If you work for yourself as a small specialist nursery, you have to stay healthy, don't you?
Yeah, it is a worry. I did have quite a serious problem with my back, which put me out at the end of one season. I've got over it, but I've got to be pretty careful. And so I'm moving smaller things more often. Also, I've put all my plants up on benches at home now, so that saves. But, building the displays at the shows really is hard work, and it does take it out on your back.
Yeah. Well, I can understand why you use the polystyrene granules within the galvanised containers, because that will reduce weight considerably, won't it?
Yeah, anything to reduce weight.
Yeah.
Also carrying the stuff around on the van, there's limits as to what you can put on the van.
Paul, look forward to seeing you on the show circuit. Let's hope we have some nice sunny days and really busy good shows.
Hope so. Yeah. Thanks, Peter.
What's on this week? Well, for those of you up near Newark, there's the Newark Garden Show on the 20th to the 22nd. And then, as Paul just told us, there's the Harrogate Spring Show from the 26th to the 29th. Oh, and on my gardening gag tailpiece, I have to say that Graham Clark has a gardener's miscellany each week in amateur gardening. He's the gardening king of trivia and brain teasers, I'm told, and I find his column very interesting. I'd like to just nick a quick gag from one of his recent pages, and it's the world's best potato joke. Football broadcaster John Motson thought he would marry into potato royalty by proposing to the Duchess of York Potato. But her father, the King Edward Potato, told her the marriage could not go ahead. Motson, he said, is a mere commentator. Thanks again to our sponsor, Sutton Seeds of Torquay. And thanks to you for listening. Enjoy your garden. We'll be back next Thursday. Discover more at sungardening.co.uk.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.